Cubberty on 2FM with Super Value Travel Insurance. Holidaying at home or abroad? Don't worry about a thing with Great Value Travel Insurance at supervalue.ie.
We all know the couples that are out and about, and they might snipe at each other constantly, and they like to, you know, the ones that point out mistakes that the other person has made. And this can come down to intelligence in many ways, levels of intelligence that can cause problems in relationships and can lead to one partner feeling a little bit smarter than the other. And that's what's up for grabs this morning, chat-wise. Dr. Keith Gaynor, who is a senior clinical psychologist from St. John of God Hospital here in Dublin, joins us to talk about what to do if you are smarter than your partner, or indeed if they are smarter than you. Good morning, Keith. Nice to see you again.
Morning, Ryan.
Is this a real issue, would you say? Or is
it? Well, I didn't know it was a real issue, and then I brought it home and it caused a massive row in my house.
Ah, good.
So I think it is a real issue.
What was the nature of the row?
Well, actually, who was smarter? How was people smarter? And there's a lot of assumptions there that we hadn't kind of talked about at all.
Really?
There's a whole day of tension around it. Yeah.
Okay.
So thanks very much.
Well, talk, no problem. You're welcome. So what was the outcome of that conversation? If we take yours, for example, what were the nuances of that? Of the argument?
Well, actually, people had really presumed, but both of us had kind of presumed the other one was smarter. And then it turned out that actually the other one had felt a little bit dumber, not quite as together, not quite as on top of things.
So you discussed it in a very sort of open and honest way.
6 hours later, yeah.
And the conclusion was, you're probably both very smart in your own way, but equal.
But it's about being smart in different ways, that there are very different types of intelligence. And that if we don't recognise that in the other person, then it can often lead to rows.
So do couples, let's take the couple going out for a year or two, and they're in their groove and they know how it's all working. Do couples need to be on a similar intellectual level at all?
No, because often a couple will bring different strengths. One person will be really practical, the other one might be more academic. One person will be really emotionally in tune, and the other one will be more about get things done and get organised. And actually that complements each other. That the couple works better together than separately. But it only works as if each partner values those things in the other partner. If you're always looking, if you're the academic and you're always looking for your partner to be more academic, then it's going to cause major rows.
Yeah. You'll have a kind of chip on your shoulder. We're going, why can't you keep up with me?
Yeah. And they will too, because they'll feel like you're putting them down.
Yeah. So then that's where the dynamic gets a bit nasty and difficult, I suppose. You talk about different types of intelligence. It's not about reading Dostoevsky. It's just being emotionally intelligent. Why don't you talk me through the types?
So, I mean, everyone would know really, academic intelligence, the person who reads, the person who can do maths, the person who can do really complicated things, does the crossword in 20 minutes. But we also know that there's lots of other types of intelligences as well.
Yeah.
There's emotional intelligence. People can read people, work with people. There's social intelligence, that you're able to work in a group. There's practical intelligence. Can you actually get stuff done? We're opposite UCD here. There's loads of tweedy academics who can't find their car. They're wandering around the car park because they can't remember where they left it.
Yeah.
And that's a really typical kind of, they have one type of intelligence, but they're lacking the other.
Yeah, okay. So what if you think, for example, if you're in a relationship and you think that you are more intelligent than the partner, where do you go with that?
Then you're probably missing the whole picture.
Good.
If you think you're smarter than your partner, then you're probably not that smart at all. You're probably just looking at one aspect where maybe you are stronger, but you're not seeing the whole picture. And you're not seeing, actually, well, what does your partner bring to it? Hmm. What are their abilities? I had a great conversation with a person, it was about a couple, but it was the girl in this couple. And she was talking about this, she was in bed with her boyfriend and she was kind of leaning into him and she was putting her head on his shoulder and he had the laptop on his lap and she was hoping, well, maybe put the laptop down. She puts her fingers on his chest and start playing. He turns around and he shows her what he has on the laptop. And he's just worked out a really complicated economics formula on Excel or whatever. And neither of them were really talking.
Yeah.
He had one type of intelligence, but she clearly had another that was emotional, that was social, that was interpersonal, that he totally lacked.
Yeah.
And that actually neither of them were able to communicate in that moment. And it ended up being a big row.
Yeah, of course it did. Because in many ways, we're talking about a language, aren't we? Mm. And how fluent you are in a certain language. And somebody might be perfect at Cantonese and somebody is talking...
can't talk to someone in Mandarin.
Irish, yeah. And that said, therein lies so many of the problems. What if you think your partner's more intelligent than you, And you feel inadequate beside them or less intelligent.
So this is often not about intelligence, but about self-esteem.
Okay.
That we in ourselves actually feel we're a bit weak in some area. And then the partner, when they're doing their thing, they get the promotion or they're, you know, they're talking about something, it hits a nerve for us. And we feel, actually, I'm not doing well enough. I'm not doing good enough. And it's just this constant evidence, because the partner keeps coming home and doing their thing, that it's this constant evidence that we're not good enough.
Mm.
And actually, it's about how we feel about ourselves. And if, so let's say we didn't go to college, actually, how do we feel about that? How do we feel about our level of education? Or if we're not getting the promotions in work, how do we feel about that? And actually, it's about working on our own self-esteem and being okay with where we are,
yeah.
Being okay with our strengths, being okay with our weaknesses, rather than kind of focusing in on the one thing that we're really weak at and really putting an emphasis on that.
Right. And then within the couple, you'd probably need to be having a conversation with each other saying, yeah. You know, listen, I'm getting the feeling that you're getting streets ahead of me and intellectually and everything else. And communicating that, and then the person saying, no, it's not that at all. Because I think, tell me if this is correct, that you can build up a story in your head that's utterly untrue. Mm.
And then lots of resentment around it.
Exactly.
And that could be going on for years.
Mm-hmm.
And so we often put a value on certain types of knowledge or certain things, but it's just the value that we place on it. So if our partner is brilliant at opera, but we only like pop, then we can think that that's more important.
Should you try to educate yourself more if you think if your partner's into certain things, should you try to familiarise yourself with their world?
But only if it's going to make you happy.
All right, okay, so don't force it.
Yeah, so if you're doing it because you want to keep up with them, if it's about competition, if it's about one-upmanship,
yeah.
Then that's not going to work. If it's actually going to make you happy and it's something you can share and you're both, you know, sharing this activity together, then that's a very positive thing.
Yeah.
But if it's about you, if you're reading War and Peace to impress your partner, then it's not going to work out.
Yeah.
You're just feeding back in that I'm not good enough and I need to do these things in order to try and impress them.
Yeah, it's phony.
It's phony.
You know, it's not real. And I think that if you're in an intellectual scenario, or if you're having a problem with it, if you talk about it and say, look, I hope you don't think that this is a thing, because it's not.
It's not.
And I'd love you to have, you read this, I'll read that, yeah. And we'll do, talk it through it, I suppose, is probably the basic advice. Can the smarter partner patronise the less smart one? Is that an issue?
Yeah. You kind of hear this at dinner parties all the time.
And tell me about that.
Well, I think one of the things is it's the smarter partner thinks the thing that they know is the only thing that matters. So they're the doctor and they think medicine is the only thing that matters. They're the lawyer and they think the only thing that matters is law.
And they're the broadcaster and the only thing, go on, take it to its natural, go on. Anyway.
And then they keep talking about their topic, what they're the expert in, they have all the knowledge in. And it's very easy then to put down your partner that they're not as good at you in that. And they're not. But you're not seeing the partner in their whole. You're not seeing all of the abilities they bring. Why did you actually go out with this partner in the first place? Why did you get married? What are their strengths? And actually putting them down about the things they don't know isn't that helpful.
Putting them down at all is wrong,
private
or public, and as you know. But in public it's about
awful.
50% worse, because it's humiliating.
Yeah, and it's going to embarrass them in front of everybody.
Why would you do that to somebody if you love them?
And yet it happens...
A lot.
You see it all the time.
Yeah. And so I think sometimes it becomes a matter of course for people that herself or himself, whoever's getting the other end of it, it just goes, that's what he does. He puts me down and that's what it does.
But it makes them feel worse.
Oh,
it undermines their
away.
Self-esteem.
Yeah.
And gradually they feel worse and worse about themselves.
Kind of cruel, isn't it? Death by a thousand cuts in some ways. Yeah, but that's a thing. How do you fix that or confront it or...
Well, again, it is about confronting it. Actually,
it?
I hate this. I hate when you put me down in public.
Yeah.
I hate when you bring this up. I hate when you talk of it like this. I hate when you exclude me, in that way. I feel awful about it.
Yeah.
And often the person mightn't even know they're doing it.
Right.
They've just got in that habit. They're just used to talking about it like that.
Yeah, and she doesn't seem to mind.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't confront, and therefore...
Actually, it's humiliating when you do this in front of all my friends.
You're stuck in a rut then. What if your partner is one of those people who are always trying to show off their intelligence or their knowledge, and again, we're back. They're not putting the other person down, but they're out and they're pontificating. I'm feeling
and
myself.
We all probably tend to do this a bit in the area that we know a bit about, the area that we enjoy.
I see myself in that question, by the way. So go on.
So we can't be too critical of these things because, we all do them to some extent.
Yes.
Is this getting in the way of the relationship? Is this causing real damage? Are we the only thing that we see, this one area that we know something about? And so do we end up talking about it all the time?
Mm-hmm.
Or actually, can we see the broader picture? And so sometimes we're going to waffle on about the thing that really interests us. But as long as it's not hurting anyone else, as long as it's not putting our partner down, as long as our partner doesn't feel worse because of it,
yeah,
or that this is the only thing we think is important, then actually it's probably fairly obvious.
Fairly, okay. The couple who do more sniping than a typical day in Sarajevo back in the 90s, I mean, this is the couple who are just at each other all the time, in your company.
Yeah.
Well, you're looking at them going, I don't know where to look. I never understand the couples who do that. Or
no, and it's awful to be in that company. It's no fun to go out to dinner with them. It's no fun to be in the bar with them. And it seems to be just the dynamic that they have. Yeah. They work like this. And sometimes they're much less affected by it than the rest of us who have to put up with it.
Yeah.
It's really annoying. It's a pain in the neck. There's nothing we can do about it from the outside because the couple have their own dynamics. We meet them once a month or once a week for a drink. There's nothing really we can say or do.
At least we don't live with them.
Yeah.
That's probably
it's about them working it through.
Tex wants to know, is it a form of flattery to try to be more intelligent than your partner?
No, it's probably, maybe, but it's probably about competition. And actually competition in a relationship probably isn't great. Yeah. That it's okay if you want to go forward and do what is going to be, make you happy and you're going to increase. And it's okay if they want to do that as well. But if you're actually just pairing off against each other, someone is always going to be better. Someone is always going to get the promotion before somebody else.
Yeah.
Someone else is always going to move forward at a different speed. And so if we're always in competition, then we're always going to feel bad about falling behind on something.
Okay, another text. Just want to ask, if someone is nervous and doesn't want to go out socially, what can I do? My husband doesn't talk much when he's out. How can I help? I encourage him all the time. So he's just not a very sociable person, yeah. Which is often...
And that might be around self-confidence, and it might be around a bit of social anxiety. So actually, some people get very anxious in social situations. They feel very judged. They feel that the attention is going to be on them and everyone's going to be critical. And so actually, there's a little bit maybe for the husband to work internally on, okay, if I go out, how much pressure am I going to be put under? Mm-hmm. Do I have to hold a conversation? Do I have to have a huge conversation with the 10 other people there? Or is it okay for me to be a little bit quiet and to sit at the back and to only engage when I'm happy to?
Yeah, softly, maybe.
Softly.
So go out in a small group and then work your way if you can.
And if there's no pressure in it.
It's now on the cusp of December, Keith, and is in John of God's, is it a busy month, December, or is it the following month?
No, December is generally fairly quiet because everyone gets really busy with Christmas. Everyone has plans, family are coming home, everyone's running around trying to get sorted. Mm-hmm. Sadly, January is a very busy month.
Yeah.
That after Christmas, after all the alcohol, after all the spending...
The come down.
It's still winter, it's still dark, and we're suddenly in debt.
Yeah.
And actually, that puts a lot of pressure.
And what are the most common complaints in January in a place
generally
like...
Generally, people low mood, so tending towards depression.
Yeah.
That actually people start to feel lower, it's hard to see a bit of point going on, it's hard to, get up in the morning and do all the things that we were doing beforehand because just there's a little less reason to do it.
Yeah, the high of December is quite intense and then bang, back to reality.
Yeah, and actually, well, it's not quite reality. It's slightly lower than reality.
Okay.
Because actually January is probably the darkest month. It is the longest month. It is a pain in the neck. And so actually for most people, they'd say their January is the worst month of their year.
Yeah.
And so it isn't quite reality. It's actually a little worse than that.
Yeah, well, that's...
And you're sort of thinking, actually, spring is around the corner.
Yeah.
And if we can get towards that and start aiming towards February, start aiming towards March, we just have to get through January.
That should be printed on everyone's T-shirts on the 1st of January. Spring is around the corner. I like that line. Dr. Keith Gaynor, Senior Clinical Psychologist from St. John of God's Hospital here in Dublin. It's good to see you again. Come and see us soon, no doubt. And thanks for your time.
Great. Thanks, Ryan.
Good morning, Lynn.
Morning, Ryan. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you today?
I'm very good, thanks. I'm well.
Excellent. Did you enjoy our chat with Keith?
Yeah, I thought it was really interesting.
Yeah, good. And what was it about it that caught your attention?
I just think it's really interesting how different people's perspectives can affect how they look at this kind of thing. I mean, I can't imagine, I was saying to your producer, I can't imagine going out with someone that I didn't at least suspect was smarter than I am. Because it's just, I think that you want someone who will challenge you and who will bring out the best in you and who has strengths that you don't have. So I think if maybe you're intimidated by that, it's never going to work. But if you look at it as something that adds to the two of you together, then, everyone wins, really.
Yeah, absolutely. So what's your track record in terms of meeting somebody intelligent or otherwise?
How do you mean track record?
Well,
I'm not sure I get you.
You've gone out with boys before, have you?
I have, yes.
And how do you assess them? Is it looks? Is it intellect? Is it manners? Where are you going with that?
Well, Well, yeah, I don't know. I suppose I think intelligence is probably the most attractive quality in anybody, really. So I think I tend to go for people who have different strengths to me. So I'm not really very mathsy or sciencey, and I tend to end up with people who are like that or are into that kind of thing or work in that area. So
you do end up with people like that, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And is that because you think you're drawn to something a little different intellectually rather than what you're used to?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Because, you know, then I just think it makes things more interesting when it's someone who has different strengths to you and knows stuff that you don't know. Because, you know, you kind of get inspired by another person and their different interests and their different strengths. So that's just me, though.
And did you ever feel sometimes when you're going out with somebody that they were trying to out-intelligence you in a kind of stupid way?
No, not really.
Showing off or
anything like that? No, I think maybe I'm lucky that I've gone out with maybe quite modest people because I'm not sure. I think being arrogant about your intelligence is a totally different thing. I don't think that has anything to do with whether you're smart or not. It has to do with whether you're arrogant or not.
Yes, exactly.
You know, so I've been lucky enough.
So intelligence is the way, because we were just funny talking about Marilyn Monroe and Arthur Miller earlier on as well, and how he was obviously one of the most intelligent, probably, men in America in some regards, and she wouldn't have been considered as such, and yet they were completely in love with each other.
Well, yeah, I mean, opposites attract. For all those, there's a reason half of those cliches are cliches. You know, it's because they're true, I think, a lot of the time. So it makes sense to me.
Doesn't it? Perfect sense. Well, then, thank you for sharing those gems with us this morning.
Not at all, right.
What are you doing for the rest of the day?
I'm at work, actually, so I should go back to doing that. Yeah.
What do you work at?
I'm in publishing. I'm an editor.
Excellent. What a great job.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Adults,
a wonderful job.
Adults or children's books?
Educational books, actually, so for primary and second level schools.
You have a very important job.
I like to think so.
You do, because if you make those school books boring, we now have your number. And we're going to call around to your house and hold you personally accountable.
But it only seems fair.
So that's only fair. Have a good day, Lynn.
Thanks so much.
Nice to talk to you.
You too, Ryan. Bye now.